Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
You're listening to Here's the Catch with David Lombardi, Matt Barrows, and Dennis Brown on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Well, last season at the Superdome, the 49ers and the Saints played a real barn burner. 48-46, 49ers, they had everybody. They had Jimmy Garoppolo, they had George Kittle, they had Nick Bosa. All of those guys made huge plays at the most critical junctures. Well, this was a very 2020 version of that 2019 game. The Saints win it 27-13. The 49ers have almost none of their big names, none of the players that I just mentioned, and they absolutely failed time and time again to even do the most basic things at critical junctures. We're talking about muffed punts. We're not even talking about dropping the punt in one of the cases. Trent Taylor, it's as simple as covering home in baseball or you know, doing something really small fundamentally. Trent Taylor didn't even wave Ken Webster out of the way on one of the punts when he was clearing out room. And then we're talking about bad interceptions from Nick Mullins. I mean, we're just talking about bad, bad, bad in a game that the Saints didn't even play well in. So the 49ers, Matt, had a chance to win this game, even with how shorthanded they are. But they just, at the spots that mattered, were not a good football team today. And they dropped to 4-6 entering their bye.
Yeah, it was like a bizarro version of last year's game where, you know, Shanahan looked like an offensive wizard. He looked terrible. He's getting outfoxed by the Saints defensive coordinator all day on Sunday. That's largely because they can't do the most basic thing, which is run the ball. Remember, they only rushed for 55 yards in week 9 against the Packers. It was 49 today against the Saints. So that's terrible. Jerick McKinnon had 7 carries today, Dennis, that were either stuff for negative yardage or for no gain. And those stretch zone runs, which is, you know, the bread and butter of that Kyle Shanahan offense, which is, you know, what allowed them to jump out to early leads against the Jets, against the Giants, unstoppable. They can't run that now. They can't run it without a holding penalty, a block in the back penalty. They can't get to the outside. I don't know what the issue is. Trent Williams seemed to suggest that the Saints were just ready for it. There were a lot of outside blitzes. They knew it was coming. But without that, there's really not a lot to kind of be the foundation for this offense. And what they did, it was squander, I'm sure you saw it, a really great effort by the defense on Sunday. The offense and the special team squandered a really good defensive effort.
You're exactly right. And I don't understand, is there no one else on this team that can do what a Debo can do as far as the jet sweeps, the screens, something to get on the perimeter? And today, for some reason, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, he just blew up this offense. And he came on those corner blitzes. I mean, the 49ers just could not account for him. It was the weirdest thing. It was one series, you know, two plays back-to-back. He had plays in the backfield. At the end of the game, I guess there was an interview and an offensive lineman, I don't know which one it was, he said that they hadn't seen it on film, but it was the whole first half, and they just could not get on the perimeter. I don't think McKinnon is a guy you want to run in between the tackles. You got to get something on the perimeter. But it just shows me how important, you know, a guy like Debo is to this offense, because you haven't seen, you know, that perimeter run. Get to the edge. Raheem Mostert. It's just weird to me that there's no one else in Kyle Shanahan's offense that he can get to do that stuff, to get on the perimeter.
Well, they have so many fast running backs, but they're all either on IR or unavailable. They're hoping they're going to get some of these guys back, like your Mostert, your Debo Samuel, for the Rams game after the bye, which is why the 49ers are so happy to be at the bye week. Finally, the gauntlet, you know, that 5-game stretch before the bye is finally over. they went 2-3. But I think, it, you know, when you lose one of the fastest players in the NFL like Raheem Mostert, boom, that takes away the standard outside pitch for the outside zone. So then you have to get a little bit more creative, right? And that means that you have two wide receivers in Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, who you mix and match and you run reverses and, you know, different pitches from the wide receiver position to stretch the field. Well, then Deebo Samuel's hurt, so you don't have him anymore. Then you just have Brandon Ayuk. And they did try to run some to the outside, but as you guys said, the Saints were ready for it. They're blowing it up with C.J. Gardner-Johnson and a lot of other guys, too. I mean, they were running blitzes the 49ers hadn't seen yet. I think the natural counterbalance when that happens and you don't have Deebo Samuel, you don't have Raheem Mostert, you don't have a plethora of other guys that are, you know, normally your weapons, and let's not forget that the 49ers don't have George Kittle, who's also their best perimeter blocker in space. He's the guy that makes a lot of these plays work. But when you don't have any of those guys, the quarterback has to be able to deliver in a more standard way downfield. And then the 49ers are completely ill-equipped to deal with that because they're on their six-string center and their backup quarterback. And when you don't have Deebo and you don't have George Kittle, you don't have guys that can run downfield either. It's just this domino effect from hell that the 49ers are dealing with, and it could be simplified by this. They don't have enough good players. Kyle Shanahan runs a complex scheme, but he doesn't have the firepower to properly operate it. Now, will that change following the bye week? That's the question, because they won't have their starting quarterback yet. They'll still be very low on the depth chart at center in all likelihood. But if you have Deebo Samuel back, does the balance tilt back in the 49ers' favor? And I think, Matt, we have to look at it from that big picture view. Will they have enough talent to actually look competent at big situations with Deebo Samuel and maybe a couple other guys back moving forward?
Yeah, and Jordan Reed had a nice game today. I don't think he played as much as he's going to play when, you know, the 49ers trust that he's fully back from that knee injury. And you would think that coming out of the bye would be that point. So he's another weapon that you might upgrade his snap count by, I don't know, 10, 15, 20%. And he's hard to cover. And he had the catch of the year for the 49ers today. I mean, that was just an amazing catch. I remember thinking, oh, that ball is just going to skid across the turf. And he stuck a paw down there. And the point of the ball went right into his palm about an inch and a half over the turf, and he somehow made it. It just kind of illustrates the possibilities with Jordan Reed. You wonder what Reed and Kittle could have done this year. That of course, is wishful thinking. But, boy, a game like today's really makes you think about that. So, yeah, those two guys. And then, and I know a lot of the fan base doesn't want to even consider this, but we're probably going to get Jimmy Garoppolo back in mid-December. It's not going to be one of the after the bye week guys, but maybe for the final three games of the season. And, you know, the more Nick Mullins plays, a gutsy effort. He stood in there, took a lot of hits, kept popping back up. Everything you want from a courage perspective. But, boy, from an arm perspective, those balls were all arriving a half a beat late. Everything's contested. Everything has to be a circus catch or a contested catch at the very least with Nick Mullins. He just doesn't have the arm strength, Dennis, to deliver the ball. And that was evident from start to finish in this game.
You know, Nick Mullins, I just don't see him as a starting quarterback, at least in this offense. And I think in this offense, you have to be very accurate and you have to be precise and be able to throw down the field at some point. He's interesting to me because after these games, he always makes comments about, you know, I can make those throws all day, or I need to make this throw that way. Well, if you see it, you know, make it happen. That's what you do. That's your job. And the book on him is that he stares down receivers. And a couple of those picks, I think he was just staring down the receiver. So that's something all the great quarterbacks do well. You're able to move safeties with your eyes, you know, move linebackers, and you don't stare things down. That's just quarterback 101.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hey guys, I think we should zoom out and emphasize that the Saints were not world beaters today. Remember, coming into this game, the Saints were the talk of the NFL. They had beaten Tampa Bay 38-3 last Sunday. Tampa Bay was previously considered the best team in the NFL. Now a lot of people thought that the Saints were at the top of the pecking order because they play balanced football. They play offense, defense, and special teams. And obviously all three of those phases came out in a good way for the Saints today. But not until after the 49ers, I thought, really let them get into the flow of this game. Consider how this started. Kyle Shanahan scripts the first 24 plays of each game. He likes to script the first 24, and a lot of the times he looks really good when he does that, including today where the 49ers went on a 13-play, 75-yard touchdown drive to open the game. It took the first half of the first quarter. Dream scenario, right, for the 49ers. They're up 7-0. Then they're up 10-0 at the start of the second quarter, and Drew Brees only has 3 passing yards. The Saints didn't even have a first down until the 49ers were up 2 possessions in this game. So it was an absolutely ideal by-the-book start for the 49ers. They actually ended up outgaining the Saints on the whole game. They're averaging more yards per play. If you look at just the numbers, it's like, oh, Kyle Shanahan was able to implement what he wanted. But the problem is, and it goes back to what you guys were saying, Nick Mullins couldn't execute when it really mattered. And instead of just not executing, he made critical errors when it really mattered, including that interception to Malcolm Jenkins. And then the 49ers, you talk about the Saints' balance on offense, defense, and special teams. Well, the 49ers failed miserably on special teams. When they're up 10-0, they gave up a 75-yard kick return where Mitch Wishnowsky just ran into Jimmy Ward and eliminated both guys from the play, and that kick return got the Saints going. They scored 27 unanswered points after that return. And then the 49ers muffed 2 punts. Shanahan said it himself. Completely unacceptable. If you make 2 of those 3 plays, Matt, which I think are all basic plays for the 49ers, they're right in this game till the very end. No matter how, you know, many problems they have that we've been talking about. The bottom line is this game was ugly, and the 49ers, I think, left one out there on the table.
Yeah, and that was what Shanahan's theme was after the game. It was a blown opportunity. I didn't think that they were going to win this game. However, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, I just felt like after the Saints blew out the Buccaneers and the 49ers had the long week, that they would show this kind of spark. And after they went up 10-0, I was thinking, okay, they're up 10-0. But, you know, this is going to be one of those games where Drew Brees, you know, battles back in the second half and the Saints will win that way. Well, when Brees was knocked out of the game, when I saw that Jameis Winston, the guy who threw 3 picks, had a 45.4 passer rating last year when the 49ers beat him and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in week 1, was the new quarterback. I was thinking, huh, there's a real possibility here that the 49ers win this game. And they just couldn't muster anything on offense. They were down 7 points at that point. But the defense never really broke in this game, despite everything you just illustrated, David, all of the special teams lapses that gave the Saints just wonderful field position. Look at these lines. Michael Thomas was targeted 7 times. He had 2 catches for 27 yards. It was just an outstanding game from the front line, putting pressure on the quarterbacks. Jason Verrett had a strong game. Emmanuel Mosley had a strong game. Tarvarius Moore being inserted at strong safety for Jaquaski Tartt was a brilliant move. It's one that people have been asking for weeks and weeks, and the 49ers finally did it, and it looked really smart in this game. But again, goes back to the offense just not being able to hold up its end of the deal.
And when you play a team like the Saints, like you said, Dave, I mean, they were the hottest team. They were playing the best. They dismantled the Buccaneers. Now you come into their house, and if you don't play your best game, a good team, they don't need to do much. I think in the first half, the Saints only had about 90 yards of offense,
yep,
but they were still up. And it doesn't help on special teams when you give up 17 points. Those 2 muffs and then that kickoff return, that stresses out your defense, and it makes it tough. Yes, the defense stood up, but then on the offensive side, I'm thinking about this 4th-and-1 when you line up in, you line up in a shotgun, and then you have your guard miss a block and just, there goes 4th-and-1. And now you go back down the field, give up another 3 points or a touchdown. I mean, you have to play 4 quarters in a football game. You have to play, offense, defense, and special teams. And especially when you're playing a good team. This is a good team. When Jameson came in and, he did what he does. He almost threw a pick. Jimmy Ward has to catch the ball. I mean, you have to capitalize on these opportunities. And a good team doesn't need much if they're playing a team that doesn't capitalize on opportunities.
Let's talk about the most important yard of the game. You just mentioned it, Dennis. The 49ers couldn't pick it up on that 4th-and-1. That was at the 2-minute warning. It was actually a 3rd-and-1 and then the 4th-and-1. So they failed twice in a row. But what had happened right before the 3rd down is they got 11 yards to Brandon Ayuk, who was just short of the marker. And the ball was right at midfield, right? So the score is tied at 10. 2-minute warning is coming up. Ball's at midfield. And the 49ers had already been on the field for 8 plays in that drive. So the Saints definitely weren't totally fresh. And the 49ers had a chance to snap the ball before the 2-minute warning. I fully think that if you're playing a good, balanced defense like the Saints are, and you're the underdog, the 49ers, you want to take advantage of that defense being a little bit winded. And I thought the 49ers were rushing back to the line to run a quick quarterback sneak to keep the line moving. Because if they pick up that first down, New Orleans probably doesn't get the ball back in the first half. So even if you don't score, it's a win. You go into halftime, you're tied at 10. Instead, the 49ers just sit there and try to draw them off sides with a hard count. It obviously doesn't work. Gives the Saints full chance to regroup. They're totally ready for a 3rd-and-1 play action. And then, Dennis, as you said, they blow up the 4th-and-1. I mean, there was a lot of plays that the 49ers missed opportunities on that changed the game, but I thought that was the most important yard of the game. Because when the 49ers didn't get it, the Saints took 4 plays to score going the other way, and they never looked back. Matt, I just didn't like the attitude there from the 49ers. I thought that you get up there and you run that next play. You're moving the ball. Don't sit there before the 2-minute warning. And I thought that, staling it out really cost them.
Yeah, sometimes the best play is just a simple quarterback sneak on those. Maybe you follow Lake and Tomlinson, your veteran left guard, on that. But yeah, it seemed like the 49ers sort of out-thought themselves on that one. The Saints had all that outside stuff covered. So that 3rd down play was, rolling Nick Mullins out to the right. The Saints covered it beautifully. And then the 2nd one, as Dennis noted, Colton McKivitz just went the wrong way on the block. People were wondering why, rookies aren't getting a lot of play this year. Charlie Warner, Colton McKivitz, no offseason, an abbreviated training camp. That's what you get. They're trying to work Colton McKivitz into the flow. They're trying to see whether he's the right guard of the future for this team. And that's one of the repercussions of that. You're sort of kind of teaching this guy on the fly. He's in there. He's alternating with the veteran at that point. But that's one of the growing pains that you're going to suffer. And boy, Dennis, they suffered it at the most inopportune time in this game.
Yeah, and there's another point in this game. I mean, a hit on Drew Brees, the rough in the passer. I saw it a couple times, and I still don't get it. Well, I guess I do. I do want some players to be hurt. I can't lie. But that was another opportunity for the 49ers to capitalize. Now you're playing against a backup quarterback. Yeah, he was a number one overall pick, but you know, he throws picks. That's what he does. So there's more opportunities, and then that's more momentum at that point, because that was a third down, and then now you got a first down, and it turns into 7 points.
So many of those, and Shanahan was definitely lamenting it afterward. But you know, we do emphasize looking at this from the more overhead view, and you know, entering this game, it stood out to me that Kyle Shanahan was, I don't want to say defeatist, but I think he was really realistic entering this game. I think he's been realistic over the past couple of weeks given the 49ers health situation, and he knew that it was going to be tough sledding, and he acknowledged entering this game that the 49ers were going to, you know, I think really have to squeeze out a win. They're probably going to need a few breaks to do it. You could tell that they were acknowledging inside their building that they're definitely the underdogs in this game, and that they were looking at this as, hey, we got to get to the bye week. Maybe we squeak out a win, but if we don't, then hopefully we get healthy after the bye week and then we go on a run. So I think from the larger picture, despite the fact that the 49ers missed so many opportunities in this game, in the larger picture, they did hold serve. So they get beat by the better, healthier team in the Saints. They're 4-6 now, and you have to look at positives if you're the 49ers. You have to say, hey, we're going to get healthier. We get to play the Rams, who we've already beaten after we come out of the bye week. And if you're the 49ers, you can say that some good stuff happened for you as far as development of young guys in this game. We could talk about Colton McKivitz's bad play, but we also have to talk about Javon Kinlaw's first career sack. Or how about Javon Kinlaw's pass breakup? Or Javon Kinlaw's big run stop on third down? I mean, Javon Kinlaw did stuff in all three phases of the game today for a defensive lineman, and I thought he was really impressive. And Matt, if the 49ers are going to make a run down the stretch after this bye week, guys like Javon Kinlaw are going to have to be a big part of it. He's going to have to make that maturation into his sophomore year, and maybe we saw that today.
Yeah, for sure. We've been seeing the physicality all season. Now he's starting to make plays, and he had a nice play. This is sort of an under-the-radar play where he sort of sniffed out a Saints screenplay. I think it was to Alvin Kamara. Just kind of shows you that he's learning. He is smart. Those two things plus all the physicality means that he's going to be a good football player. So I think this was sort of a sigh of relief for the 49ers. DeForest Buckner was featured on primetime earlier in the week on the Thursday game. He had a really good game, and it sort of underscored that trade. It highlighted that trade. The Athletic also did a big feature. The Indianapolis writer did a big feature on DeForest Buckner, where he was sort of resentful about the trade. He noted how bad the 49ers were when he entered the league, when he joined the team in 2016, and talked about, you know, trying to build the culture, and he felt like he had helped do that for the 49ers, and then they go and trade him to the Colts. So the imagery wasn't good for the 49ers entering this game. Javon Kinlaw made the imagery look really good. He had the game of his season so far, and Kentavious Street also had what looked like his first sack of his career. So just about everybody on that defensive line, Eric Armstead, again, Dennis, didn't make a lot of plays in this game. He seemed to be flagging a bit. He's played hard to this point, but he's one guy that didn't show up. Deion Jordan didn't show up. That's sort of going to be a theme, I think, over the next 6 weeks, or the final 6 weeks, is the 49ers are going to learn something about who their players are, who they need to have on this field next season. I think that's going to be a real opportunity for some of these younger guys.
Yeah, and you know, we're going to talk about Eric Armstead until he has a 3-sack game, because all the focus is on him. He just has to keep fighting. There's a lot on his shoulders. He doesn't have his outside rushers. He doesn't have his Oregon Duck buddy, DeForest Buckner. But he's got Kinlaw. And my advice to him, Kinlaw, would be to watch tape on DeForest. Watch how he plays that interior D-line. Watch how he gets off blocks. Watch how he uses his hands. And I saw some of that today. I mean, we know the potential. We saw what he did in college. If he can continue to play with like 100% like he did today, he was running down the field. He was scrappy today. If he can continue to do that, he's going to continue to get better.
Well, he could definitely pick up some of those pass rushing moves from DeForest Buckner. Even the first sack today for Javon Kinlaw, it didn't really feature much of a pass rushing move. It was a pure effort sack. He was just backing the guard up, and then Taysom Hill held onto the ball for too long, and he got him. I thought the really impressive play, I liked the pass breakup, but I thought the really impressive play was the run stop on third and two. Andrus Peat. Okay, so this is kind of funny. I used to cover Stanford, and there's two players that I've seen in person that I have said that their legs look like pillars of granite because these guys have been so big. And the very first guy was Andrus Peat, who used to be a lineman for Stanford, now with the Saints. He's their left guard. I saw that guy back in 2012. I'm like, oh, my God, pillars of granite. This guy was huge. And then I'd never said that about a player again until I saw Javon Kinlaw with the 49ers. As far as just sheer size of two guys, Javon Kinlaw and Andrus Peat reminded me a lot of each other. Well, if you watch that run stop, Javon Kinlaw just shoves Andrus Peat out of the way like it's nothing. And then he just steps up there and makes the tackle. I don't know if it was on Kamara or whoever, but it was just prodigious strength that, you know, I never saw anything like that from Buckner. I saw really pretty, you know, swim moves from Buckner and arm over and all that he did in the pass rush, which is obviously where Kinlaw has to get better. But the raw strength I just saw on that tackle for loss. So I thought that was cool. Then you have to talk about Brandon Ayuk on the offensive side of the ball. Matt, whenever the ball goes toward Ayuk, it seems that something good happens. And I don't think this guy can make a catch without adding at least 3 or 4 yards after the catch. It just seems like there's some kind of force field on the ground that prevents him from falling down right away. He's always able to get a little bit extra, and that should pair really well with what Shanahan's trying to do as the season progresses.
Yeah, he had another TD today, and it was another, you know, close to the goal line touchdown. And the 49ers, Kendrick Bourne has supplied some of that last year, but they don't really have a go-to guy down there. You know, to your point, yeah, he's got that after the catch ability, the slant, the crossing route stuff that's so important to the Shanahan offense. He also has some wiggle. And he's embarrassed some veteran cornerbacks this year. And he's only a rookie. So the two first rounders, it was a very, very good game for both of them. So I'm sure John Lynch and Adam Peters and Martin Mayhew in the 49ers front office are happy about that. The other thing that made him look smart is just looking up right now what Emmanuel Sanders had one catch for 5 yards in this game. So Ayuk is the replacement for Sanders. Obviously, you'd love to have a veteran on this team, a veteran wide receiver for the 49ers. But Ayuk's potential is pretty off the charts right now. And, you know, we've talked about the limitations at quarterback. The 49ers have their starter back in there. And I'm not saying that it's going to be Jimmy Garoppolo next year. I'm pretty sure it is. But that's a nice pairing to look forward to once that group is together. And I think that's the thing that 49ers fans need to hold on to. When everyone is healthy, and I know that is a huge asterisk because it never seems to happen, but boy, there's a lot of talent on this team. And Ayuk, I think Dennis is part of that talent group now.
And I think he's going to be a superstar in this league. I just watch the way he carries himself on the field. He doesn't play like a rookie. I don't know much about the receiving position, but it seems like he's a good route runner. You don't see him make many mistakes. You don't see him taking hits. And you see him as advertised. He's a yak guy. He's going to catch the ball and he's going to get you those extra yards. So like you said, when everyone's healthy, all the weapons are there. This team can be explosive. Right now, I think he's a star of this offense right now, even with a backup quarterback. Because when the ball's in his hands, you can expect big things, explosive plays down the field. And just I think about this touchdown. And then, you know, he goes in orbit motion. He comes back. He goes back. He goes back. And there he is wide open. I mean, he's a guy that needs to be featured. You can lean on him right now. Hopefully guys come back. But right now, he's a superstar of this offense.
He is. And I think it's a great point that initial 49ers blueprint for this season was to stay obviously healthier than they have been. But for them to actually maybe even be better than last season had they stayed healthier, if Brandon Ayuk started exceeding Emmanuel Sanders level production as he became more comfortable down the stretch, and if Javon Kinlaw could start to at least approximate the impact that DeForest Buckner had, maybe not quite be there, but be a force. And hey, this was the second game of the second half of the season, and you have both Ayuk and Javon Kinlaw, your two first-round draft picks, making the type of impact that the 49ers wanted to make. Now, obviously, that's just viewing it in a vacuum. Since everything else is on fire around them, it didn't help the 49ers win the game. But had this season gone a little bit more normally, you could see what the 49ers were hoping to do there. And before we wrap up, I got to ask Dennis about this. Dennis, how upset would you have been if you were Kentavious Street and that flag was thrown. It was Ahmad Brooks part two, right? That might have been the hit that knocked Drew Brees out, but it looked pretty clean to me. And Kyle Shanahan, nobody was happy about it after the game. I wonder what you were thinking as a former defensive lineman.
I don't think they really explained what the penalty was. If you watch the play, he did everything perfect. It was a bear hug. You know, the dude weighs 290 pounds. He falls off, he bounces off an offensive lineman with the quarterback in his grasp, and he falls on the ground. It's called gravity. It's not piling on. I understand that, you know, the injuries, they want to protect the quarterback, but that's a basic play. If you can't play like that in the NFL, you might as well turn it into a passing league. The rules are the rules. That was awful. That was, like I said earlier, that changed the momentum of the game because the Saints were able to go down and score a touchdown. But that is what you're taught. I mean, he beats a guy one-on-one, he gets the edge, and he sacks the quarterback, and he falls on top. You can't slide off the side. I mean, it's a bang-bang thing, and that's just, it is what it is. Makes me a little upset because that's an interior lineman's dream, is to sack a quarterback up the gut one-on-one against a guard and bring him to the ground. So it makes me upset, but that's NFL, and you want to protect quarterbacks, and you definitely want to protect Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Well, to pour a little bit of salt in that wound for 49ers fans, that play wouldn't have happened had they not muffed the first punt. So remember, bad mistakes have domino effects. That led to the Saints' first touchdown, right? And that first touchdown's not coming if the 49ers are just able to make a basic play. And that one actually goes back to Trent Taylor not waving his own guys out of the way, which immediately got Trent Taylor replaced by Richie James at punt returner. The 49ers were not happy with that effort on that play. So bad errors seem to compound on each other, and bad errors also seem much more frequent when a lot of good players are missing. It seems to have that downstream effect that the 49ers are certainly suffering. However, they will be entering their much-needed bye week. They hope to get some of these guys back. They won't get Jimmy Garoppolo back yet, but some of the players will return on 29th against the Rams. And the 49ers season's on the line. They are 4-6, and they still do have a little bit to play for with that extra playoff spot this year. So we'll see how this progresses. Anyway, the Saints beat the 49ers 27-13. We will talk to you guys next time.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.